Welcome everyone, we're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, BPJ number 91, that's Bayis Pnimi, joint shir number 91. We're in a book called Setting a Table for Two, and we're in a chapter that says the legs that hold up a table. There's like six principles, and we mentioned two in the last shir, and we're going to continue. Principle number three is that improving a marriage begins and continues continuously with improving yourself. We say this many, many times. The two people are both human beings, both will make mistakes, both flaws. But again, with barring this concept of real, actual, serious abuse to the point of extreme danger and distress, where one person is very, very, very unhealthy and the other one is a victim to that, which could happen. But in 95%+ of the people listening, that's not the case. And we're dealing with two flawed, regular individuals. Then the aside is you start working on yourself, perfecting yourself. If you perfect yourself, then the perfection of your marriage will inevitably follow, because it's really one process. Heavy emphasis is placed on techniques for improving you as an individual. You happen to be one half of a marriage corporation here, but it's fixing yourself. When you try working on yourself, on your midos, on your attributes, on your character, that is really truthfully the only meaningful option available to you to help your marriage. But the good news is it works very, very, very well. If you learn how to control your own self, your own attitudes, your own behavior, because that's all you can control. You really can't control your husband or wife. You can't schlep them into submission. You can't manipulate them. You can't control them. And if someone, Khalila, he writes a note here, and it's extremely important. If someone did go through that diseased, wicked root, he calls it, diseased, wicked root of trying to force your wife, manipulate your husband, control them, and forcefully make them compliant to what you want, whether it's Gashmias or Ruchnias, makes no difference. If that cooperation is not done out of a wholehearted free will feeling, but rather they're under some duress, they're only complying because otherwise you'll get angry or you'll get abusive or you'll yell or you'll scream or you'll be ignoring them or you'll be gaslighting or you'll be passive aggressive, then that creates even worse resentment that ultimately will destroy your relationship and will lead to actually being openly rebellious against you, or subversive, meaning in a very underhanded way, rebellious against you. It does not work. You cannot, how he works towards it, you can't browbeat into submission or manipulate or otherwise control your spouse. Therefore, the healthiest aspect is not to do that at all, but to improve yourself. In that sense, marriage is the greatest educational institution on earth. That is the essence of self-improvement. The problem is we live in a society where self-improvement is not an ideal. It's an opposite of an ideal. We live in a society that breeds selfishness. We are in a society that encourages a sense of entitlement. Most of us have trouble saying no to ourselves. The developing the ability to say no to ourselves, to sometimes actually, yes, deny gratification of an instinct or agenda, but often it's simply to delay it, and not that it's gratified right away, but over time, is an essential part of the process of becoming a human being. In the eyes of the Torah, in the eyes of Hashem. Not just a matter of a process of even being a Yid, an Erlich Yid, to keep Taryag Mitzvahs, even to keep the seven Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. If you look carefully, in the Tzelem Elikim, Hashem created a human being. He's telling even the non-Jew, you have a Tzelem Elikim, don't be an animal. You can enjoy life. On Jews, we're on a higher standard, so there's a little more restriction because we have the ability to be more, with the Nishmas Yisrael, we have to be very refined. But a Ben Noach is not excused of this. They have a Tzelem Elikim, and even keeping the seven mitzvahs creates a certain amount of self-control. They cannot take something that doesn't belong to them. Gezeila is one of the seven mitzvahs. Gilei Arayis, you're married and you're faithful to one person. You cannot go and live with somebody else that's married to somebody else. That's by a non-Jew too, certainly by a Jew. So the idea of saying no to oneself, to delay or deny gratification, is a human element. In the eyes of the Torah, you are not a human being otherwise. You are acting like an animal, and you were not created an animal. So the idea is that marriage does require you to wrestle with your own selfishness. Marriage requires you to wrestle with that idea of self-entitlement that is seeped into our culture. It requires you to consider the wants and needs of someone who is not you. And again, as much as we talk about marriage being one and whole and two half neshamas uniting, we're still two different individuals. And there's a lot of work that entitles is basically required of you to consider the wants and needs of someone who is not you, who did not grow up the way you grew up, to forego your own wants and to forego your needs in favor of consideration of that other person who is your wife or is your husband. It is not always an easy process. Sometimes it's a difficult process. Sometimes it's a painful process. It's not easy not to be selfish. It's not easy. People knock it, to say, oh, you're a selfish person. The truth is, it's natural to be selfish. And it's hard. It takes a lot of hard work for most of us. Some of you out there listening are fortunate enough that you don't understand what selfishness means. I'm very happy for you. But I ain't one of those people. And many people, I'm assuming, listening feel the same way. It's not easy. But that's why we are human beings. That's why how we become healthy human beings. Very, very important. There's a famous pasuk in Koheles, and we say it every day, and it's well known. This vart, "Omaiser ha'adam min ha'behema ayin," the superiority of human beings over a beast is nothing. We're the same, but many teach this, and it's a true interpretation too. "Omaiser ha'adam min ha'behema," the difference between a person and an animal, the superiority of a human being over an animal, is ayin, is the ability to say no. It's the ability to say no that distinguishes a human from an animal. An animal cannot curb its desires. An animal does not understand the necessity of sacrificing immediate pleasure for the sake of a higher, more important goal. And again, I had a question when I first read this, and I saw the video about penguin life and other types of animals where, yes, there is mamish, a mesiras nefesh, actually. It's mind-boggling. The mesiras nefesh of what they go through to make sure that they take care of their child that's to be born, the egg that was hatched, or to seek food, one for the family, the other one for the family, and different animal life. So at first, when I read this and then studied some aspects of animal life, I was like surprised. Like, what do you mean? They also do this. The answer is very simple. When an animal does it, even there, it's programmed in their genetics. They don't have that self-awareness that they're feeling, oh, I care about my fellow penguin that I'm married to, or let's say even if it's a monogamous, some connections, male-female in animal life, is also monogamous. They stick to their mate, a dove, so on. It's also to teach us things. It's instinct. The bottom line is it's instinct. Marriage, however, is the ability to go beyond instinct. And it requires to say no to yourself every day of your life, again and again and again, to remove the selfish agenda and to do what's necessary and best for your spouse and for your children. Now, I'm going to say this. This does not mean that you as a person, as you're working through getting over unhealthy selfishness, that you don't have legitimate needs. There are certain things called legitimate needs. You have a right to expect, as a husband or as a wife, normal, healthy things that the Torah requires the other one to provide for you in the normal way. Otherwise, you have a right to express yourself. If you feel you're neglected or hurt, and in Torah view, you are being neglected and hurt, right? The husband is not fulfilling the obligations to his wife of sherek sus and oina, of providing food and clothing and physical sexual relationship with her, or the other way around, where the wife has obligations to the husband in all those areas, and she also falls short, and she knows it, then of course you have a right to express that. There's a selfishness there, but that's a selfishness that is, the Torah is saying, this is a need and a right that a husband and a wife need to provide for each other, according to Torah law. But again, usually you ask an outside rav or mentor to clarify it if you have issues with each other about it, or between yourselves in a healthy way. But overall, the overriding angle and aspect of marriage is, yes, there is a lot of selfishness in us, and we have to every day actively choose to say that my marriage relationship and what's best for my husband, wife, children is beyond what I personally may want. Every time you're in a bad mood and you're angry and your husband or wife pushed all your buttons the wrong way because they were not behaving nicely, and you have the ability to lash out and you choose not to unleash your fury or indignation with all its wrath, and you hold that back, say, I'm not thinking straight, I'm very upset, let me hold off saying anything. That is one of the moments of greatest growth. It's greatest growth, because you're transcending every natural instinct that a human being has, that when they're hurt or they're angry, that they lash out, and you, in turn, did not do that, and you exercise self-control, and you actively, consciously created yourself and your relationship having priority, instead of defaulting into a reflex action and an instinct. So you're creating a healthy version of yourself. You're creating the finest version of you that can exist. You're actually bringing out your highest potential into actual. These are the gifts of greatness to be had from marriage, which is the greatest educational institution on earth. Here is where the mode between a husband, wife to husband in family life is the type of self-improvement work that is at the deepest, deepest level. Deepest, deepest level. And I will say this too, for those that are divorced or were divorced, most people, unless, again, I'm barring, again, I have to say this many times, everything we're saying about these six principles, when it hits real abuse, it's a whole different parsha. We're not talking about that. But not everyone that blows up their top sometimes and they yell or they're insensitive sometimes does not mean all of a sudden they have, they're an abuser, you know, or someone that, whatever it is, you have to know. Most people we're talking to are flawed individuals that have to work on themselves. So with that, this is the key. That's principle number 3. Improving your marriage begins and continues continuously with improving yourself. We'll start principle 4, and we will continue it in the next year, but to start it off, it's all in your hands, it's called. Which means you're not a helpless, passive victim. You have the ability, you have bechira, you have free will, and you have a power to recreate your own marriage in a more positive way. We'll talk about it more in the next year. But the idea of, Hashem says, everyone, this is a problem sometimes we have with saying everything's min hashamayim. It sounds beautiful, by the way. It sounds like you have a munah to the sky. I have a very difficult marriage, and it's all a shame. It's all min hashamayim. And it's a gzera, and I have to be makabalit with ahava. And frankly, and I'm talking to myself too, it goes to with all of us, a real mentor, a true tzaddik, someone who really knows you and sees you through and through, will tell you you're full of baloney. You're full of baloney because you're not this victim. You're not this sort of, all of a sudden, you're meiser nefesh, carbon. You have the ability yourself, Hashem put in you. This is a shtablis that you have to do. You can create your own marriage by the principles before, the principles after. We're going to talk about how, what, when, and where you can actively improve your marriage, and it is in your hands. Bracha v'hatzlacha.